I was told something. I was told something a few weeks ago that really, really just boggled my mind. And it applies a little bit to that, is that I was told is that in some respects that some people who attend here and sometimes feel like others of us have our act all together, that we're living the Christian life, and that we don't struggle with anything. Now, is there anybody here who is willing to say, is that I don't struggle with anything in my Christian life, I've got everything in my Christian life right where it's supposed to be, I'm walking just like God wants me to walk, and I don't have any struggles? It's not me. I can remember when I was back in my 20s and dealing with issues that I still deal with and temptations that I still deal with, and talking to somebody who is in his 80s and says, I still have those same problems. The Christian life is something that's going to be lived. God will give us the strength. God will give us the direction. God will give us the ability to resist as we desire to walk with Him, to resist the temptation, to resist the sin. But that doesn't mean that they go away. And sometimes if you look at somebody else who seems like they have their Christian life, you know, doing all the right things, and it doesn't mean that they don't have struggles. It doesn't mean that they're not having some of the same struggles that you may be having. But sometimes, if there is a difference, it's maybe to the degree of which they put their trust in the Lord. It's to the degree which they remain in the faithfulness. And another thing that can happen is if they have someone else that they can be transparent with. Each of us who are married should be transparent with our wives or husbands. Our spouses, as it may not at the time we are wed, but as time grows on, they should also become our best friends. They should become the one who knows each aspect of us, that we can be transparent before them and not be ashamed. We're going to talk about James 4, and for my 7th and 8th grade class, I apologize if we go over some of this stuff again. Is when I've spoken, I've always decided is that the Lord's laid on my heart what I'm teaching about, and I'm not trying to... I thought about what I wanted to talk about today, and nothing else in the Scripture brought anything of peace to me of what I should be sharing other than what the book of James was saying. But we in our Christian lives ought to be transparent. We need to be able to be real, to be enthusiastic, and to be different before the Lord. You know, we just went through an exercise here where we asked different ones in the congregation to pray for JC. And one of the things which my mind went through is that I wondered how many people who were sitting in the congregation said, I'd really like to pray for JC, and I'd like to publicly do that, but I don't think like I'm qualified or I'm eloquent or I'm capable of approaching the throne of God in the midst of people. We're family. Is that we should not have any fear of bringing anything before the Lord in this public group. Because this is our family. And folks, like it or not, you guys are stuck with me for eternity. Now, God says He's going to rearrange some things in my life for that time, so it won't be quite that bad. But we're going to be with each other for eternity. And if we're going to be with each other for eternity, why does it bother us so much to be open and being able to go before God with things on our heart while we're here and now? I can pick on some people and various things, is that I'm going to pick on Steve today, because Steve retired from the military and came here the first week, and the second week he started a job with the company I was working for. And we developed a relationship over the time, and Steve hadn't been with the company very long, and he was out and acting as field superintendent. His first thing we did is send him out of town for 9 weeks. And while he was out there, there was an incident that happened on the job site that some equipment got damaged, and Steve called in very concerned because he hadn't been with the company that long and there was damage done, and he was concerned that since he was the responsible person out there, that it would place him in jeopardy as his position, of what we thought, of how he was competent, and so forth. So he called me up after everything was done. And Steve, do you remember what I told you?
The scheme of eternity, what does it matter?
I got on the phone. I asked him if he'd done anything. I said, Steve, now take a deep breath and just remember that in the scheme of eternity, this mistake or this problem really doesn't matter. How much we need to do that with our Christian lives. None of us who live our Christian lives are going to have a perfect life, and we're all going to make mistakes. And yet we know and we're told by Scripture that if we come back to God, He will forgive us and He will be able to utilize us. Now, does that mean that God is pleased when we sin? No, it does not. Does that mean if we sin, it doesn't disqualify us from some things God may want us to do? No, it does not. We may bear the consequences of sin, but it does not mean that when we sin, we cannot be restored into fellowship and we cannot be used again of God. I believe each of us has had points in our lives where we have sinned with God and had gone back and asked for forgiveness. And sometimes those sins have been forgiven and we've had no consequences. And sometimes those sins have been forgiven and we've dealt with consequences, or we've disqualified ourselves from being able to do some of the things which God wanted us to do because of it. But when we desire in our hearts to do that which God wants us to do, and we're willing to do and to open ourselves up, not only to God, but to those who can see around us what God desires in our heart, then we can be utilized of God. You know, we talked about in James. James was a unique book because it was written by who we believe was the stepbrother of Jesus, who probably was saved after Jesus' crucifixion, resurrection. And he could go back and he could remember what it was like living in the same household. And when he wrote this book, he wrote it to Christians. And he wrote to Christians and he said, I want to talk to you people who tell me that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want to talk to you people who say you are Christians, because if you're going to make that statement, there ought to be something about your life that demonstrates that. There should be something in your life that those around you can tell where your heart is. If we went around to people here that know each other and we said, okay, where's your heart? Where are your heart's desires? What are your likes? What are your dislikes? What has captivated your time and energy? Is if when people know us and people have seen us, is it if we ask other people, we'd probably sometimes be surprised what other people think captivates us or interests us. And yet we know that James, as he spoke, he's talked about that anything that we have, any good gift, any perfect thing that we have, cometh from God. We're told in James that God will not tempt us, and He will not allow any temptation to befall us, but that we can endure it. So what motivates us to live? How do we live? What do we want to do? How do we serve? It said in Corinthians, is that Paul was talking about his ability to witness, to live, and to walk before Jesus, and he said, the love of God constraineth me. It's an interesting phrase, is that the love of God caused me to have no other option than to have a heart for other people. You know, many of us, I was thinking about this, is that I've been saved now for almost 30 years. Saved just before I graduated high school. And I can remember with disappointment and shame that The growth that I had during the first 5 years of my Christian life, I've never had an a time since then that I feel that I've grown as much. And I re-examine my life and I say, why? What went wrong that I'm not experiencing that growth? It's certainly not because what God has to reveal has been ended and that I've learned everything that He has to reveal. But every time that I've gone through a study of Revelation and I get through the book of Ephesians, we'll talk about the church of Ephesus having lost our first love, is that I go back and I reflect upon my heart, is that have I lost my first love? Have I lost the affection for my Savior that I had when my salvation was fresh? Do I get the joys and do I have the contentment of knowing that when someone else comes to know the Lord, it's almost like seeing what happened to me those many years ago, of seeing one whose soul, which was bound for hell, is now bound for heaven? Do I get excitement from that, to seeing another soul who has been wrested from Satan's hand and pulled to God? Do I get enjoyment in that? We walk our Christian lives. And as you get older, and I've done this a while, we sometimes get better at it. It becomes easier. You know, we get our lists of do's and don'ts and, you know, things that, you know, we know that, hey, if I just avoid this, I don't have any problems in this area. And sometimes we regiment our lives and do anything. But I want to look at a verse in James. It's the last verse of chapter 4. And it says, therefore to him that knoweth to do it good, knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We as a people kind of formulate sin as something which we do, or something which we think, or something in actions which we take. But James also went to the heart of the matter and said, if you know there are certain things which you need to be doing and you're avoiding them, that's sin. So what's that do with our lives? Are there areas in our lives where we have been more than happy to say, oh, they like to do that, let them do that, I'll just stay out of that? Maybe that's where the Lord wanted you. Have we been willing to look at what God has prepared for us and say, is this what you wanted me to do? Is this the action which you wanted me to take? Is this the help that you wanted me to be? As people who have known me for a fair amount of time, I think have seen some changes in me. I remember when I came here 12 years ago, 13 years ago almost, and I've watched a man who has a pastor's heart, and I've watched the changes in Dean over the last 5 years, and I've talked to him about things that I've seen in his life of how he's changed and how he's changed his means of service, he's changed his thoughts, and I've looked at him and I've talked to him about that, and he said, well, I've always tried to live in doing what the Lord wanted me to do. And I sit there and say, I want that. I don't feel like I get that in my life yet, but I want to be like him. I want to be able to have a life that I can say, follow me as I follow Jesus. And I would challenge all of you that as we go forth, as with JC and Margie, and with Jan, and with Dan, and Dean, and Bob, and the staff which we have on, who are trying to do things to accomplish things for the benefit of each one of us and for the furtherance of the gospel in this area, that we wouldn't just go into our little shelters and say, this is what I want to do, this is what I'm comfortable with, and ignore maybe something else that God would have us to do. that we do not sin by omission. That we are doing those things in our lives that we know will prevent us from being tempted and being led down into things which will ensnare us, but also that we would carefully consider those things which God wants us to do because He may have something for us in blessing that He will give us if we will be open and transparent. I would encourage us to fellowship more with one another, to be more transparent. Again, we're stuck with each other for eternity. It would be well to have a growing and loving relationship before we get there that we can build on. But we need to focus our lives and remember that we're here that we might do service, that our lives are not our own. We've been bought with a price. That which we do should also not be done specifically out of a sense of obligation, although that should be there. But as we walk our Christian lives, it should be out of a sense of thanksgiving, of love for the one who saved us. That we might be as the example in the Old Testament, we might be the ones who are willing to take, because they were in service to, or bond service, to take and have their ears pierced with an awl to demonstrate and wear an earring that would show that they were this person's servant for the remainder of their life because they desired to serve that person because they saw something in him that they wanted to give their total life and control over to. So as we seek to gather together, to learn more of one another, I would challenge you that you might consider carefully, is there things in our lives that we should be doing, that we may be disappointing God, that we may even be sinning because we are avoiding following His command, and as James says, is that if we know to do good and do it not, if we know that there is something that we need to be doing and we're avoiding it, to them to sin, and that we not be committing the sin of disobedience. It's not just of omission, it's disobedience. To know that which God had and do that. And can we do that? Are we equipped to do that? If we have called upon the name of Jesus and we are saved, we have been indwelt and we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit who will guide and direct and walk with us. And with Him we can do all things that God would have us to do. And if we remain faithful to Him and we lean upon Him and look to Him for guidance and be sensitive to His leading, it will make a difference in our lives. As we come into a new thing, as we deal with change, and we need to make sure, I just want to give you one final example of something we need to be careful which we do. Is it something that I found in my own life, is that over at my company, as we were looking for a new person to take a role that is in the position of where I would report to, and I was one of the people that applied for the job. And I went through the interview process, and I made through the first set of interviews, and just this last week, they brought in the top three candidates that the people we had dealt with had been dealing with, all the candidates that applied for the job, and I wasn't one of the three. And that's real good for your ego. But one of the aspects of it, and one of the things that I had to go ask for forgiveness for, is that when we got to the two of the three candidates, I had no problem with. But the third one, is that I was after the interviewing the third one, or talking to the third one, is I was ready to go back to the people that brought him in there and said, you thought this guy was better than me? Is I allowed, in this position, to allow my own opinion of what I was to get in the way of somebody who was providing an objective evaluation. And sometimes we need to do that with our Christian lives, is as we look at what we're doing in our Christian lives, as we have things which God would want us to do, we need to make sure that we have not puffed up ourselves. That we need to make sure that when we approach God, that we have looked at our own souls and make sure that we're not being dealt with pride. That we are able to give the support, the help, the assistance to one that And this, you know, is that JC's coming down here as an example and going to work with the youth group. And there's going to be a lot of us who have worked with the youth group. And I pray to God is that I have lost and gotten rid of anything that of an attitude is that in supporting of JC is that any time that he's coming up with something to sit there and not second guess it. To say, I could do that better than he could. We need to avoid that in all of our ministries. We need to be supportive of one another. We need to look and say, okay, there's an opportunity here for God. God has brought a new focus, a new level of energy, a new viewpoint into our ministry, and we need to support it to see what God, many blessings God will give. To be able to look at it and say, this one may be blessed of God to be able to do things which we were unable to do before. But we need to support that. Just as I needed to look to God and ask for forgiveness for having attitudes of saying, I'm judging that which I don't know the full evaluation of. We need to be supportive. And we need to make sure that we are doing those things in our lives that God wants us to do and not to avoid doing those things which we are not comfortable with. We need to, as a man once told me before, become one of those radical Christians that God is looking for to sell out to Him, to do His will that we might reach a lost and dying world with the gospel of Jesus Christ.